Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Man, I should submit that for a Grammy.
Did it.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
12 minutes kicking off. The end of August is upon us, Leo month, if you will, anniversary month, a lot of things happening. Curtis is taking his big trip.
That wallet feeling.
And then I think, again, Gary, you had your anniversary too coming up too, right? Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
A lot of things happening, man, but we have come to a culmination, if you will, and we have another explosive show to discuss here. I'm going to set the stage as always, and I cannot wait to dive into these topics tonight, too, gentlemen, because just the craziness of 24 hours is going to make a difference, but we got a lot of things to discuss. As always, without further ado, let me check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
I'm good. Is Dre breaking up for anybody else, or is that just me? Is it just me that he's breaking up for? Like, I hear him, but I don't hear him great.
No, this video, you mean the video? The video's fine for everyone.
Audio. Oh, it might be mine, so I might switch headphones here in a second. I'm good, man. I had something more lighthearted to tell y'all because I went out to watch that Lakers game on Monday to go, you know, social distance and have a beer. And I promise you, this dude looked me in my face after he took about four shots and came over and said, "Hey, man, I need you to give me some help." I said, "Give me some help? Give me some help with what?" He said, "I need some cocaine." I said, "Whoa, hey, what kind of party you talking about, bro? I don't get down like that. What's wrong with you? You gotta keep that pushing." And then he probably threw up like 3 minutes later. So I was like, okay, he clearly was gone. But, yeah, that definitely happened to me like 3 days ago, bro.
Wow.
That's a night you're never going to forget.
You must have had too much beer that night, Dick.
The game had started. I just got there, and they came in and took like 3-4 shots like within the first 35 minutes and was just gone. And then he hit me with that, and I was dumbfounded. Like, what? Do I look like I guess I have my Kobe jersey on. Do I look like I slaying Kane, though? Like, Is that what I'm getting off? So anyway, I'm good, man. I just figured, I said some of that craziness with y'all.
Where were you at, JQ?
Huh?
Listen, where were you at?
I was in Lawrenceville. Just had a bar and only go to in Lawrenceville to watch the game, sports bar.
Okay, because normally that's
you in Magic City and throwing them wings?
No, bro. That's way far from my house. It ain't that deep.
Wow.
I can tell you I've been on some dates with girls like that. You know, how's the day going? Well, you don't have any cocaine, so the date's over. Or you don't smoke enough bud for me, date's over. I've been on some dates like that.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah, that's wow. Speaking of that, somebody had I remember I was reading a story about somebody that it's kind of messed up how they literally were selling cocaine in a UPS vehicle. Then we got like 2 years of probation selling cocaine in a federal, like, you know, U.S. postage vehicle, but only 2 years of probation. We're like, what? Yeah. I can't, man. I'm about to.
Wow.
Anyway, I digress. Wow. That's what made me kind of think about that. Yeah. Selling cocaine. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good attorney.
So, you know,
that was
not court
appointed attorney.
You know what he did in that room. Because there's no way.
Yeah.
In a federal vehicle? Come on.
That was, that was a guy. He had a really nice suit on.
Just got off from the Taco Mac down the street. He had his Taco Mac shirt on. Him and his buddy Cody just got off work with their Taco Mac shirt on.
Rob Ford, how you feeling, man?
Hey, fellas, I'm here.
Man of the hour. What's up,
dude? Great, man. Got a little nap in before the show. I didn't get much sleep last night, but, you know, I'm ready to get this party started. Got on ESPN right now looking at the NBA and the NBA Players Association. Want to partner up to release a statement about the effort for more police accountability. And also encouraging as many people or everyone to get out to the polls and vote here this November. So the NBA and the NBAPA is going to be really pushing for that.
Gotcha.
What's up, Lou? I heard you.
Yeah,
I'm
heard
just
you.
They're
going
to get back to normal Saturday or tomorrow, whatever, which one. I'm just glad that we're, you know, we're going to be playing basketball again.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that, too. I mean, obviously, we wanted to definitely dive into the boycott and what happened and how the impact that has had. And then, again, just kind of what's going to happen looking to the future of the playoffs and whatnot, too. Really quickly, Curtis and Gary, how you guys feeling this evening, man? I know Gary had his anniversary and Curtis had his trip. How you guys doing, man? Everything good on your side of the West Coast?
Well, the first thing I want to say, if you guys don't know, the disasters we're having, now it's not in the Portland area, it's not on our coast, but you go east of Portland and you go into California, you go into Nevada, you go into Idaho, you're eating a lot of smoke.
Forest fires, big time.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
We're burning up on the west, and I'm not talking about the weather.
But we're doing
right.
Personally, Curtis and I are doing well. Arnett and I had a fantastic, anniversary. She's a great, great woman. Lucky to have me.
Lucky to have you.
I love it. Hey, man, that's what I say about.
But Curtis was on a wild wind adventure with a dear friend of ours.
Yeah.
And they hit the corners of Oregon.
Yeah.
And we were the far corners of the state.
And we had five other states.
Crazy.
We had Idaho, Nevada, California, Washington, Oregon.
Yeah. Nice.
Happens every year, though.
Way to get, and my family, unfortunately, they are dealing with that, too, in Vacaville, like Northern California, dealing with a lot of the fires, too, man. So, again, just you have to be careful out there, too. Just it's craziness, man. So, prayers up to them. I'm glad you guys are safe, as always. And this year has been a powder keg, if you will. So a lot of things to discuss, too, man. So, all right, here we go. Gentlemen, and whenever we have that beer, whenever we're hanging out, fellas, we're gonna talk about these adventures, man, because that's definitely going to happen. But let's throw the numbers out really quickly. The same number, the 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12. THMEN Sports, and we are also on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/talkingsports12men, or if you put 12 men sports, you will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen, let's kick it off, man. You know the drill. The sports world comes to a halt by the boycotts, and I know. We're gonna have to let's start off with Rob, JQ, and then kind of go around the room, West Coast, and Lou, kind of back it up too. So. Just kind of your thoughts about that, what had happened. It's pretty impactful, obviously, with the NBA, if you will.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, started a trend on yesterday and started a trend in all of sports with the stands that they took by protesting the game and sending a message for social justice here. And I tell you what, it's really frustrating. To see here, that the message and all the protests and things of that nature that's been taking place since the month of May, it's still not hitting home here in this country. And I think what Doc Rivers said, you know, really hit home yesterday. You know, why do we love America when America doesn't love us back? And, I mean, that just resonated with me. I'm sure it resonated with all of us on this call, too. And you know, it really hurts to see that we're still dealing with this, even with all of that has happened since May, and all of that's happened over the last 400-something years, and still there's nothing that's being done. And, you know, we got a 17-year-old kid goes to shoot up a couple of people to protest, and he gets to walk away from it. And you got an incident with Tamir Rice, 12-year-old kid, had a fake gun a few years ago, and he gets killed. And how much longer is this going to take place? And, you know, and I know the NBA is trying to do everything they can to send the message, and I know a lot of the other sports leagues are doing the same thing to join in. But how much longer? And, you know, my wife and I were talking about this earlier, and she was like, wow, you know, what does it come to that we have to talk about this on ESPN? Would you ever think we'd be talking about this topic on ESPN? And that's where it's come to right now. What Doc Rivers said, I mean, that just really hit home. You know, why do we love this country so much when America doesn't love us back?
Yeah, and to piggyback on that is that he's not all the way right in that statement, because they love you in the context of what you can do for their team on the field. They love you then. You stay on the sports field, and you don't talk about anything else that might make anybody.
Or if you can play music.
Yeah, you can play music. You know, if you can entertain in some way, then you're good, as long as you keep that, your thoughts to yourself. And it goes back to that, we're not going to just shut up and just dribble. And they have followed through with that piece of it, and I'm really proud of them for that. And again, you people ask, well, what does that do? Well, it brings more awareness to it, because now it's hard to dodge it when you're trying to find, you know, the playoffs on TV or your favorite team playing one of those 60 games in baseball and they're not playing. Now, you know, you can't really run away from it. So to me, that's the piece of it that gives them that power and that platform to be able to put it in your face, as it should be, so we can talk about it and get a better understanding of what's happening. So I applaud them. And the fact that the Clippers and the Lakers were willing to cancel the season so they could take it totally away and get out there in the streets. They were willing to walk away. You talk about Kawhi and LeBron more specifically looking to add to that legacy and be willing to put down the shelf for a greater good is very impactful and amazing. So I salute them for being able to use their platform and bring more awareness to it. And I just hope and I think they will if they'll follow through with that message as the playoffs resume.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point there. You know, JQ, you know, LeBron and Kawhi Leonard was leading the charge on this. And you're talking about two men where their basketball legacy is on the line here. With LeBron possibly having a chance to win a fourth championship, Kawhi has a chance to win a second championship. But they were willing to stand for something bigger than what their basketball legacy would mean to them. And, you know, I mean, that says a whole lot. I mean, I know they're going to continue to play. And, you know, most of the NBA players are not in as good a financial position as LeBron and Kawhi is in. So I can see why they're still playing. They have to figure out a way to still be able to be impactful in this category with playing. But to say that they were willing to sacrifice with their basketball on the court legacy would be to make a bigger stand for social injustice. I thought that said a lot.
Well, you know, these big boys, they know that this is bigger than them. And I believe that the player agreed to play some more because they do have a platform. And I applaud you guys, and I appreciate you guys. This is our platform. I've talked about this for a long time in my life. And a long time ago, I figured out in America, you are accepted in America if you can serve America, shoe shine, porter on a train, serve, be a maid, mm-hmm. all that stuff. You're accepted in this country. You are also accepted in this country if you can entertain and you can song and dance, play baseball,
right.
play the sport. And they're free. And the other one is if you're willing to die in this country's war. You'll be a hero in this country. I've always told people in Black America, serve them, wash their clothes, shine their shoes, be a porter on their train, or entertain Michael Jackson, Prince, or die in their war, or be willing to die in their war. It feels like to me as a Black America, that's the only way you're accepted as a Black American in America. But what the internet has done and what some of these topics have done is, unless you're under a rock and you don't want to see this, now there's awareness. I told Gary a long time ago, if you can't see what Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for 4 years ago, how it directly relates to that kneeling on George Floyd's neck, if you can't see the correlation with that, I can't help you. And I'm not willing to help you if you're that narrow. I can't.
You know, I listen to my brothers on this show, and I'm so proud to, you know, be a part of it, be with you guys. You know, as a white man, I didn't have to experience this sort of thing for any length of time. But I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about me when I lived in Hawaii. And I had 4 years of, you know, being discriminated against as a Haole. 4 years is not generations. It's not decades. But to experience that for just, you know, that much of a time frame, and I see and hear all of these things that we've heard on and what we've touched base on and what Curtis has gone through at different times. Even a man coming from law enforcement like Curtis came from. The discrimination is just, I'm proud of every American that's standing up and saying enough is freaking enough. Let's stand together. You know, I watched Kenny the Jet Smith walk off the set. I just stood up and I raised my hand. I'm like, yes, that's, you know what I wanted? I didn't see the reaction of Shaq and Charles Barkley, and I don't know what they did or what their reactions were because I was too busy celebrating what I just saw, and I thought that was phenomenal. I don't know if they walked off the set, if they stayed there, if they had some words of encouragement.
I didn't
whatever,
stay there.
But I thought it's the balls for that guy to do that. That's a white man's network. Producers, directors, owners, everybody. You know, I don't know what that's going to mean for his future with that. I hope it doesn't affect it. But that guy really, man, I have a lot of respect for what he did in that moment. I thought that was phenomenal. We, you know, I work for a company that is a phenomenal company to work for, that believes in diversity, that doesn't discriminate against, you know, whether you're African American or, you know, Latino or gay or lesbian or whatever. I worked for that company, and I'm proud to work for that company because of that. I couldn't imagine working for one of these companies. You know, we all have to eat, but I'm so proud and so happy that I work for a company that you don't have those same issues. And if you do, they squash them quick. So I'm proud. There are companies out there, big organizations that are out there that, you know, no matter who you are, if you apply yourself, you have an opportunity for growth. You know, my colleague here on the show, my colleague, you know, Rob Ford is a classic example of that. Started off part time, you know, got involved. And he's a success story, and I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Go ahead, Luke.
Go ahead, Luke.
That's what I.
But that's important. Next year, I did see what James Smith walked off by on. His colleagues did stay there. But they weren't really they were very supportive of him though. They weren't angry or nothing. They just felt like he was in total support of Smith. I'm like, he walked off. And that's, I don't know if he was walking out because of anger or whatever. Well, probably because of that. But that was something I didn't really expect to see that happen. I mean, you know, you're upset and you just decide to just walk off on national television. I'm like, that's something that most reporters wouldn't do. So that caught me off guard a little bit. Now, we know that was going to be mostly between the Celtics and the Raptors that were going to pull this off. But then I guess once word got out of it, then they were kind of thinking, well, if they're going to do it, I think we're going to do it too. But at the same time, I don't think they were going to carry it too far. I think they just wanted to blow some steam for like about 24 to 48 hours and whatnot. And then, you know, they would get back to it. So as upset as they were, I really didn't think they were going to carry it, you know. I've been like, oh, let's just cancel the damn season already. Like, we don't even care. I didn't really think that was going to happen. So, you know, so by noon today, when it just was because there were some reports saying, oh, how did this go from a boycott to a potentially canceled season? So some members of the press were already writing it off, but then around noon today when I heard it from somewhere else, they said, nope, they're gonna play. And actually, the Bucks were one of the teams that said yes, that they wanted to play. Only the two Los Angeles teams were in favor of not playing. Well, if you want to take out the Clippers, go ahead, because like, I don't really care about them, so that's fine with me. But, you know, with the Lakers, you know, they're the best team out there. And, you know, to have their season be, you know, washed away, that would have been, you know, the real downfall right there. But I'm glad that, you know, they're working this out. And let's just get back to playing basketball and everything else. The best thing to do when something happens like that, look, if you need the 24 to 48 hours to collect your thoughts, fine, go ahead. But the best thing to do is get back to business as soon as possible. Look, we've all been through we've all been through tough moments, tragedies and whatnot. But the sooner you can get back to it, you know, the better you're gonna be. Because if you cancel the season, that's not gonna help your cause. You're hurting the fans, and most of all, I think you're hurting yourselves.
I would have to disagree with a lot of what you just said.
Okay, that's fine.
Number one, yes, people have been through. Times, whether it's a divorce, a breakup of a girlfriend, a loss of a job, those are normal tragedies that people have that can affect their lives, of course. But we're talking about generational things that have happened to family, you know, the Wind Kings and all of these things, the right to vote, all of these things. This is huge. And if those players walked away from the game, I don't think, and I'll tell you what, I think it's going to depend on how these owners react as to what the next real move with these players, not just in, started with basketball, but not just in basketball. I think it's going to be what these owners that really have the money and the power, what they can do to affect change if they can jump on board with this. And I'll tell you what, teams are looking at, you know, in the locker room, who's on board with us? Who's making comments behind the scenes and who's not? You know, and I like that. I want them to hold every one of us accountable. And I don't, if we lose a season over it, it would be a tragedy, because I do believe that the Lakers are the best team in the NBA, and they'll win they'll end up winning it. But I think the Lakers, if they had a choice between winning the title this year and making some real change, moving this forward, I think that they would take moving this forward and making things better for the Americans in our country that are feeling like they're not part of this country. If they could move that needle forward, they would be champions, and they would be totally fine with that. What do you think, Mr. Laker fan? We got one right here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. That's what I'm saying. You know, I don't think it's necessarily – yeah, there's a piece of it that I think is to clear their minds and whatnot, but I think the greater piece of it was, here we go again, and this is why, if you remember, they didn't want to go into the bubble, because they were saying, hey, we're losing the ability to be out here and be on these front lines, and now we're playing basketball, we're giving people this release, and they we don't want to lose consciousness. And then this happens. So when you have this occurrence happen again, when you didn't want to do the bubble thing because of it, yeah, things, emotions are raw, and you read all the stories, emotions were raw about it, but I think it was more of a, okay, see, we told you this is why we weren't going to do it, and now we have this ability, even outside of these basketball games, because we're not talking while we're playing basketball, but if we're out here and we're able to go out and get people organized and pool money and do things like that, because we don't have to worry about going to practice and playing the game, they have the ability to do other things if they get committed to doing that across all the teams, and it seems like that's what they want to do. So to me, I think it's more of a, hey, like Gary said, you know, we want to keep moving this ball forward, and there's no time like the present, what we have right now. And if we don't play, we can spend more time doing that. So I think that was a really real thing. And like we said before, if LeBron is running out of chances at this point, and, you know, and he's got a good shot. Like, I believe my Lakers team is pretty good. I think there's some other good teams. I think, you know, I think the Clippers is out there looming, that we all thought that showdown was going to happen. But, you know, to be willing to put it with age 35, you're one of your, maybe your best or last chance to get that title for the greater good. To me, I applaud it. I mean, there's not many people that would do that. So I think it's bigger. I know it's bigger than I think you're giving credit for. Luke.
And I think that does nothing but help his legacy.
I agree. And you guys just made me think of something. Okay. As a basketball player, with all this stuff going on, and you know, in sport, and I believe in the professional levels of sport, you have to be locked in, and your concentration has to be locked in. And I think one of the problems that all these sports are having, how can you concentrate on being that super sports hero when you got this tearing at you, and your mind has been blown, instead of focusing on being a basketball championship, you're focusing on your family, and you're focusing on this country. And I think a professional athlete would have a hard time with that.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I think the biggest takeaway that I grabbed from that, too, is just the impact of, like we talked about earlier, that it impacted the WNBA, impacted Major League Baseball, soccer. Everyone was kind of like, yo, this is – let's take a step back and really understand it. And I think we don't want to get lost with that message that let's get back to playing. No, we got to stop, man. Let's not just sit here and dribble a basketball. That's kind of what it akin to what it feels like. You know, we just want you to do this, and we're tired of kind of putting up with that. That's kind of the thing that we definitely want to make sure that we're coming across, because then the message becomes, as you said, as JQ said, it becomes diluted. We don't want to dilute the message. We want to make sure that we're still on the forefront. We're still playing basketball, yes, but let's not lose sight of what the whole purpose of what we're trying to do this for. So I think that's what was, I think, was powerful to see that from across all. And, you know, again, as Rob mentioned earlier, too, it's like it's kind of disappointing because, you know, we're trying to, again, reach out and try to get healing. Things are still like, oh, we're kind of okay. Then we get back right to it. Like, come on, man. That's why we got to keep the momentum going, because it just feels like, again, that we're losing sight of the actual overall goal of this. So I think that, again, there's a way to kind of attack both, because if we were fine, if this incident didn't happen, I'm sure, you know, obviously they'd be protesting with that. But, again, it's very, very important for us to keep what's going on in this country on top of mind. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say from that perspective, you know. It's a lot, I know. They are going to resume, and it's tough because, again, I don't know, Rob, if you want to kind of talk about kind of how this plays out for the playoffs will resume and then kind of what's going to happen, because it still seems like, you know, Milwaukee's okay, let's go and get the, you know, let's kind of get everything back. So what are your thoughts about that, Rob?
As far as the rest of the playoffs?
Correct, and kind of how everything's going to be resumed.
Yeah, well, it looks as though, you know, they still haven't finalized if they're going to resume play tomorrow or if it's going to be Saturday, but it looked like it's going to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, so it looks like from a basketball perspective, they'll be back on the court no later than this Saturday. As we stated in the early part of the show, the NBA and the NBA Players Association is trying to partner up with a message. They're trying to come up with a joint statement, you know, on what type of message they should be delivering as a result of this in regards to social justice and police accountability. So whether that's tomorrow, whether that's Saturday, I think we won't see any basketball until they come out with that statement. And another statement, of course, you know, pushing for more voter registration too as well. So I think they're looking to send a message here before they get back to the basketball court, and how do they continue to move forward, you know, after that statement is released, and how do they continue to get that message out there. So I think they're sitting down discussing that right now before they get back to that, the actual basketball. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see that soon. But the actual basketball, I don't think much is going to change. I think you started to see the Lakers and the Clippers start to look like they're possibly turning a corner and getting into that next gear, especially the last game for the Clippers. Yep. I mean, they opened up a can against Dallas. And maybe they finally woke up there. So I can see them back on that course for the Western Conference Finals. And definitely Milwaukee, after losing that game one, I can definitely see them getting back on course at the Eastern Conference Final. But the series that's going to be interesting to me is going to be Toronto and Boston. You know, Boston is very talented from their top 3 to 4 players and with some decent depth. Toronto's got the size when you talk about Marcus Gasol and Pascal Siakam and Serge Ibaka. And pretty good guard play with Kyle Lowry and Van Vliet. Man, that guy, he's been shooting the lights out too.
So,
that's going to be a really interesting series to me. That could easily go 6 or 7 games. So I know Jake Hugh and I went back and forth on that when he went with Boston. I could definitely see that. Just not convinced yet. But I really see that as being a real toss-up series.
That hurt my soul as a Lakers fan to say that. But the way that Tatum and Brown are playing, you're going to always get some tenacious defense from Marcus Smart. That's certainly found a thief. I used to pick this dude up off the street, and he comes in and just starts balling. And, oh, yeah, they still also have Kemba Walker. They're deep and young.
Kemba Walker.
A nice little piece of bet there. I tell you what, I think Boston wins that, but you skip over that Heat-Buck series. And I look at that, and I see that Chris Middleton is not shooting well. And we talked about it when he broke the bank. I said, they're going to regret that contract because Chris Middleton is an all-star, but he's not a superstar. And there's a difference in the league. You got to fill out the all-star roster. In the same way Kyle Korver was an all-star, but he's not a superstar. But they gave Chris Middleton superstar money to be that second banana, and he's struggling right now. And I look at the Heat and Jimmy Butler messing with him, getting in his head. They got Heat culture. They're going to play. Coach Spoelstra is going to have him play good defense. You're going to feel like Giannis is going to get his. But the others that Shaq and everybody always talks about, is Eric Bledsoe going to come to the party? Is Chris Middleton going to come to the party? Are they going to show up and do that? Right. Are they going to show up? Because, you know, you talk about Bam and Hero and Goran Dragic, you know, and Jimmy Butler. Like, that Miami team is going to be a hard, hard out for the Bucks.
Yes.
So I don't overlook that one. I think that, to me, is the one. If I feel like I saw an upset coming, it would be that one. Out in the West, I think the Lakers and the Clippers are on a collision course in the Western Conference Finals. I agree with you 100%, Rob. I think they, for different reasons, the Lakers had it in cruise control. They got smacked in the mouth by Dame Lillard. They had to respond. And I feel like the Clippers, you know, they got playoff P back four games. And they had to deal with somebody who is, to me, a budding superstar in Luka. So that I think sometimes you need that first hard series to wake you up and kind of put you in motion for the rest of the playoffs. In terms of resumption, the fact is that, I mean, I know they're all in the bubble, but they haven't announced any start times yet for the games. It would be hard to believe they could come back tomorrow, that we're at 11:36 the day before, and we haven't, you know, heard of a start time for the games for tomorrow. And I'm with you, Rob. They're trying to get their message across. But I also know the sports world, and, you know, a lot of people do stuff on Saturday and go out and date night and whatnot. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Sunday. But if you watch a lot of times, you get games on Sunday and Monday when they feel like that people are going to have eyeballs on the TV and not be away doing weekend activities. So I personally think it's a Sunday kind of a restart for the playoffs, if I had to take a guess.
Yep. Yeah, that's a really good point you mentioned about the Miami Heat, too, man. They are really shooting the basketball well. And Bam Adebayo, man, he's been the beast in the inside, too. The only concern is, you know, I know they found something against Indiana, but the defensively, Tyler Hero and Goran Dragic, sometimes they get into some situations where they teams can find them on a, you know, as a weakness on the defensive end. But like I said, they were able to come together and really play some solid team defensively, defense against Indiana. But we'll see if they can do the same thing about with Milwaukee, too. But, I mean, that's an interesting point, too, because they are really shooting the basketball well. But Milwaukee is a really good defensive team, too.
I agree. I just don't know if I trust Milwaukee right now. They beat Orlando, but lose. They should never have lost a game to Orlando, to me. But it's really the way Chris Middleton is playing, because you're paying him to be that second guy, and I just don't trust Chris Middleton over a seven-game series against a team that's going to try to get his head led by Jimmy Butler. Because Butler's not going to mess with Giannis like that. That's not going to happen. Giannis is going to get his. But can he mess with Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe and get in their head and mess him up? I absolutely believe that he can do that to them over a seven-game series. So I'm sorry, Jaren Curtis. That's why I felt that way about that series. I think that's going to be a really good one to watch. Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, come playoff time, you need to have multiple stars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Toronto and Boston, to me, both have more stars than Milwaukee has. So that's going to be really interesting if Milwaukee faces one of the teams that needs to come to finals.
Well, I think that the Lakers and the Clippers are on a collision course. I agree with you, JQ, on that. But I think that the Lakers are driving like maybe a F-150, and the Clippers are on maybe they're in a Ford Pinto. it's still a vehicle. It's still a collision. But I feel that the Lakers are going to roll on them too. I think it's going to be between those two teams. I think the Lakers are going to prevail at the most, but I'm thinking probably five games. They're going to go on, and I don't think there's any team in the East that's going to be able to compete. Unfortunately, because I'm not a Lakers fan, but realistically, I believe that the Lakers are going to roll on any team in the East they play. They've got the length for Milwaukee. They can who can handle them in the East? And you know there's no one, but try and be objective.
Well,
yes.
I'm going to go with – I think Toronto's coming out of the East. I really do. And because of your Chris Middleton synopsis. And I saw Bledsoe light up Portland. I haven't seen Bledsoe light up anybody else. Toronto is poised without Kawhi to get back in the finals. And what does that say about Milwaukee? They got a nightmare on their hands if Toronto comes out. And I also think Chris Paul is going to give Houston a nightmare. And Chris Paul and what's going on in Houston, Houston, you guys didn't land. Houston has not landed. They've been bad.
You
got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. It's Chris Paul and him commercial. It's Chris Paul and him commercial.
Now, wait, are you talking about Chris Paul?
You cannot count on the controller to do that again.
JQ, I want you to address what I said about the Lakers. I want you to tell me, who do you think in the East has the best shot of winning a game or two against the Lakers?
To me, I'm going to go outside and douse myself with lighter fluid and set myself on fire. But to me, it's the Celtics. I look at them long, young, ability to score in multiple ways. And then if they get that far back, oh, guess what? We get Gordon Hayward back. Like, they have a really nice roster that I hate is in green and white. I hate it, but if you look at what the parts that they have and what they can do, multiple Rob's favorite term, positionless basketball, to be able to switch and do to have multiple ball handlers and do that. If you don't got it, I can pick it up. If you two don't got it, I can pick it up. You just fill in behind me. They have three guys to me in Tatum, Brown, and Kemba, that those three guys can go for about 60 to 65 on a given night together, almost as a floor, and you're just asking other guys to kind of just put them a little bit over the top. That Boston team is nice the way it's constructed. I hate to say that, but I hate all of them. I hope they don't do shit. But if you look at what they have, I mean, they got
the problem.
He's right about Boston, but I would also throw Toronto in that mix, too, because of the size Toronto have. They have multiple people they can throw at Anthony Davis. And he will be the wild card to get off of his game, Anthony Davis. I think LeBron is definitely, you know, playing at that level for quite some time. I think he's going to, you know, he's going to bring it. But the outside shooting of Toronto and the size and the interior, I think they will be able to throw multiple bodies at Anthony Davis and, you know, just kind of wear on him a little bit. That could be intriguing. I know Theis is a really nice player for Boston, but they will need more than that from an interior standpoint to be able to slow Anthony Davis down. So, but I can see that with the Celtics, but I would also throw the Raptors in that mix too.
So what the Raptors seem to be a tough team, especially with, of course, pardon me?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Who's going to be a tough team? I
look at the Raptors. The Raptors is a strong team. And, you know, they could be a tough comparison to the Bucks. So it's either going to be one of those challenging. I think the Lakers. So I'm thinking for the Eastern and the Western final.
The Easter semis is going to be really, really good. I thought that going into the season. The one surprise to me, and I'll let it go, is Philadelphia, because I looked at how big they were. I know they lost some outside shooting to J.J. Redick, but if you look at that starting five, as big and lengthy as they are, them getting swept, to me, you know, is just unacceptable. Like, I mean, I know Ben Simmons wasn't there, but you got to get one. Like, they still have enough talent to get one. That Al Horford experiment has been an abject disaster in Philadelphia. I really thought more was going to come out of them in the playoffs this year. I did.
Philly was, you know, had a very strange year.
They quit on Brett Brown, too. You can look at it watching those games. You can look at it even in game four. They really quit on him as a coach. And I was sitting there watching that. I said, Brett Brown's going to get fired. And sure enough, I think it happened like the very next day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see that team really quit on him. And I totally agree. Even without Ben Simmons, Boston didn't have Gordon Hayward. So, I mean, that shouldn't have been an excuse. And, I mean, you look at that team and the talent that they have on that team, And they didn't win a game. That team were really good on Brett Brown. So it's going to be really intriguing to see who they can get as a coach there.
And Phoenix goes 8-0, which is crazy, and they didn't even make it. That's nuts, man. So
yeah, that's now. They dug themselves that hole.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid is quietly one of the best talents in the NBA, and it's like it's being wasted right now.
Well, about part of that's on him. Hey, he's wasting part of his own talent.
Gary ran away, but if you listen to him, Curtis, just say I want to give a shout out to you guys for Portland and Dame doing this thing, even though he's run into he's got a lot of injuries too, man. But he's definitely been
well.
Providing
we ran into here in Portland. We ran into 824. They made that Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
so we ran into a buzzsaw. Everybody was celebrating Kobe Bryant's 824.
Yeah. And it was a setup.
Well, I mean, if I would have known better, I would have told the Blazers pick another date. Don't play on 824.
8:25.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa!
That was horrible.
You know, watching that game on 8:24. It just seemed like all the Lakers was running up and down that court like they were 19 years old. It just seemed like they all had an extra burst.
Yeah, they were.
But I think the Lakers remember, you know, in L.A.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Portland beat them bad when they were honoring Kobe Bryant. And I think that was right there was the motivation. We are going to kick the Blazers' ass.
Oh, that was cool. And along with the that was the ambush.
That was my fear, though. I was just getting ready to say that. That game back from after Kobe died, they played the Blazers, and everybody assumed the Lakers were going to come out and be high-flying, and Dame and them kicked them in the mouth in L.A. when they were doing all their tributes to Kobe. So as a Lakers fan, I was watching this. I'm hoping that they garner that 824 spirit, but I remember that day.
Well,
that
they definitely
day,
did.
Kobe died. Yeah. Oh, please don't let them do it again to the same team. Like, I was concerned when that game started. I was like, I guess I shouldn't be concerned anymore.
When it's 15-0, 15-0, I'm like, it's over.
I was hearing about that date. I was hearing about it, and it didn't faze me until all of a sudden it was 15-0. And I thought, 824, Kobe Bryant. Oh, God.
Yeah. What day is this? Somebody messed up on the
crazy.
Oh, man, y'all crazy.
Anything. We're wrapping this thing up, man. We appreciate you guys. I do want to really give JQ a nice shout-out to you. Big Ten, bro, considering winter season with dome stadiums. Man, what do you think about that? Come on.
You know where I'm going with that. I mean – yeah, if you get the dudes to play, I mean, you have to almost get the NFL to say, I'm going to push back the draft, because if I'm Justin Fields, Deshaun Wade, or, you know, the other stars across the Big Ten, am I really going to put myself on the line to then say I'm going to play and then go maybe a couple weeks later to go try to participate, you know, in the drills and you know, the glorified underwear Olympics in Indianapolis before the draft starts? What they should have done, and I've said this every time, is don't try to be the hero. Don't necessarily be first. Just don't be last to cancel it. Move your season back. Coincide it with the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12. And then gauge and see what happens from there with the pandemic. And then you come together as you have these meetings and say, okay, now we're canceling. But being the first one now, and if something happens and these other conferences start to get games off, and you're sitting there and your stars are at home, And recruits are looking at that like, is this what they're going to do? Oh, maybe I shouldn't go to a Big Ten school now. It's got bigger implications than just the kid itself. And I get them trying to take care of the kids, and I applaud that. But they didn't have to do it so soon. They could have moved it back and continued to monitor. But they jumped the gun, and, you know, they got the Rose Bowl affiliation with the Pac-12, so the Pac-12 followed suit with them. And they jumped the gun, and you leave all the rest of them for those three conferences. And if they get that thing off and they play, you look like an idiot. And they are killing Kevin Warren, the president of the Big Ten. The parents are at the, you know, at the headquarters protesting. They sent letters, you know, they're engaging lawyers. Like, you made this much worse by doing this so early when you didn't have to do it. Just say, hey, we're pushing the season back 3 weeks with the other five, other four conferences. We'll see how it goes and let it go with that. And you don't have any of this blowback.
That was terrible.
So,
that was terrible.
Sure done.
Yeah.
Don't be first. Yes. Just don't be last.
You're not first, you're last.
You are, Ricky Bobby.
Someone's got to be, though.
That was a shout-out for JQ. I know he wanted to talk about that, too, man. So, again, I know we are East Coasters, man. We're dealing with a lot. I know hopefully Rob's still around. Hopefully Rob is okay, man. Did you want to talk about the Saints wearing the Jacob Blake helmet decals, Rob?
Yeah, obviously it's another tribute, to what took place. Obviously, you know, nine NFL teams actually decided to cancel practice today. I believe just some off the top of my head was the Green Bay Packers, the New York Jets, the Washington football team, and, just to name a few. I believe the Buffalo Bills was in that number as well, the Arizona Cardinals. And some other teams, you know, did, you know, the Saints obviously did the helmet decals as a –
John Payton said we're working.
To what?
He said John Payton said we're going to wear these decals, but we're working. We
<can't>. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah. He's taking those days off.
We're working, son.
Right there.
Yeah, but that was their way to do a tribute, but JQ was right. He said they're working.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think everybody's going to, be honest, is going to have their ways that they go about it. There's necessarily not, a wrong way. I mean, there is a wrong way, but people are addressing and talking about it, and, you know, teams are doing it in their own ways. Their locker room is feeling comfortable doing it. So I'm fine with that, you know, and I get it. And I kid you about Sean, but he's also one of the more enlightened coaches that, you know, tries to have a pulse in his locker room and let his vet board, you know, kind of take control of the modern little thing. So, you know, hats off to him. I think we'll probably see more of that across the NFL as we go across these weeks or some kind of piece of that. But, you know, that's a nice gesture by the Saints for sure.
Yeah, there was actually supposedly it was a Sean Payton and Janoris Jenkins idea. Cornerback. It was their ideas to come up with the decals. Going back to the team here, looking at a few of the teams, the Colts, Jets, the Titans, the Cardinals, Bears, Packers, Washington football team were some of the teams that canceled practice. Part of the nine teams that canceled practice today.
Jets shouldn't
today.
Be canceling any practices. They should get all the work they can, by the way. If you're a Jets fan, I apologize. You shouldn't be canceling any practice, by the way. Really quick, Curtis and Gary, let's tell you guys.
Yeah,
we thought about you, Curtis, as you're talking. Every time you talk about the 40 Eagles players beating the Cowboys, I think about you. That's just one of those things, man. So.
The 40 guys off the street.
Well, one of the guys was actually a panhandler.
Y'all gonna get Curtis fired up.
We got McCartney now. McCartney knows how to win some division. So, and I'm here.
Paul McCartney
this morning. I've been watching Inside the NFL this morning, all morning, and some of the NFL reporters have been saying. For years, it used to be really fun to go to Cowboy Camp. Cowboy Camp was kind of fun. Yeah, they say this year, it doesn't look like it's fun. They said it got intense in there in Cowboy Training Camp. There's a big difference in Cowboy Training Camp this year. It ain't the fun camp no more. Well, Paul McCartney, you know, he got out of the car, and he said, listen, if you guys don't get busy, I'm not going to – the Wings and I, we're not going to play you guys.
We're not
going to
score.
It's McCarthy. It's not McCartney. It's McCarthy.
If he don't win a division, it's going to be Nick Bomb.
Y'all got rid of the best hand clapper of all time, huh?
Yeah. Wait a minute, though. What about Earl Thomas? How you feel about that? Do you want Earl Thomas?
It's becoming to be a problem. McCarthy didn't want he didn't want the headache. But Jerry told everybody he runs the show. Jerry's got the big show going. I run the show.
Actually, I'm kind of in favor of it because our safeties are weak. And Earl Thomas, he's a good player still. He may be a headache, whatever, but I'd rather have him out on the field. He's a stud on the field.
Maybe he'll beat up Jerry.
Uh-oh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. That is coming out. The live portion of the show is coming to an end here. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back on the air live next Wednesday night. We're going to be back to Wednesday night next week. NBC Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But we got a little bit more sports talk for you. We're going to go into our OT portion. Click on the same link to get the rest of the show. We thank you all for tuning in again. Good night, people.
Now, you see that right over my shoulder here, that beautiful picture behind me? This fine gentleman here, David. Gave it to me, and it's gorgeous. It's in our dining room, and really appreciate it. One of my great buddies. The only thing I can't stand about the guy is he's a San Francisco 49er fan.
And I still think he might think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all.
Montana.
No, it's not. That is.
Wow.
He did it for that was the horrible. Yeah, no, Montana. I don't think my statement. What is Joe Montana did that nobody else has done? Was he the first to win 4 Super Bowls? No. Has he got any 2 back to backs? No. Has he been in the Super Bowl 9 times? No. What has he done that nobody else has done? Period. What has Joe Montana done that anybody else hasn't done?
He beat the Bengals twice in the Super Bowl.
They were pretty dominant.
I mean,
your claim to fame is you beat the Bengals
twice.
Hey, you watch your mouth. Your dirty, filthy mouth.
Well, and that's my point. Bradshaw beat great Cowboy team. Bradshaw beat great Raiders team.
Y'all saying the one thing that Montana did do was beat, he's the only quarterback to beat his Bengals twice in the Super Bowl?
I think so. Yeah, they wasn't beating the Cowboys.
Easy. Where you go with that? is what I'm going to tell you. I was going to put out there that I didn't talk about it earlier in the show, but I wanted to give a shout out also to the Brewers and the Reds for following suit very shortly after the Bucks went ahead and did that, and with it being Kenosha being so close to Milwaukee, the Reds kept listening to the Brewers and it was like, yeah, you don't want to play. Yeah, we're not playing. So I wanted to give them a lot of love. And they kind of set forth the domino in baseball yesterday in terms of teams postponing as well. So, shout out to the Brewers and the Reds for getting together and canceling that and bringing it also across into baseball as well.
Absolutely.
You saw the message how everyone, stopped and they had the Black Lives Matter shirt. That was all that was left. That was pretty powerful too, man. So again, just showing you that, just kind of piggybacking what you said, JQ too. That kind of definitely started with that, and just we can't help but again, we got to keep that awareness happening for sure. So that's all I'm saying that too. I know we're getting ready to wrap up. I know the East Coasters have been going through a long day, long week for Rob. I'm gonna let you guys pick your topic here. I know Rob had the top rookie running back for 2020. I'm pretty sure. What's his name? That from LSU is going to get some play in that too. Go ahead, Rob. You want to talk about it real quickly, if you will?
Oh yeah, the top rookie running backs for 2020. And mm-hmm. I mean, definitely I have of course he's the LSU guy. I got to put him number one, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But on a serious tip, more so because of his skill set and how it matches with the Chiefs' offense. And Patrick Mahomes, they're going to utilize him running to the outside, running between the tackles, and then the pass catching ability, as you all saw in the LSU offense, and then partnering him with Patrick Mahomes, and then the effect that Damian Williams is opted out of the season too is going to make him a big target for some big numbers this year at the running back position. Jonathan Taylor with the Colts will be my number two guy. Not as big of a threat from a pass-catching standpoint, well, at least from a college standpoint, but from what we're hearing, the Colts do plan to use him in the passing game a little bit more than what we saw him use in the passing game in college. So we'll see what that looks like. J.K. Dobbins. Now, we saw J.K. Dobbins' versatility in college, but running and catching the football. So look for him in a 1-2 punch with Mark Ingram there to get a lot of reps this season as well. DeAndre Swift, if he's healthy, he's going to be a beast. Power and speed. And the guy to really watch and could probably be the number one back in, with the Rams is Cam Akers from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
So watch him. Yeah. He could really have a big season. And I think he's got a chance because he's going to get a lot of the carries to possibly even move up a few spots on this list. You look at Swift and Dobbins and Taylor. They're going to be in the joint backfields, but Akers probably is going to be the guy with the Rams. So he's got a chance to move up a few spots on here. But those would be my five rookie running backs to watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think Marlon Mack is one of those journeyman kind of backs that, you know, got it a little wrong for the Colts. But I think Jonathan Taylor is just way more electric. And I think the part of the reason why you say that about the passing is just that he is in that super old school, you know, running up the middle, running to the left, running to right offense of Wisconsin. And he just didn't really get a chance to show that he could catch the ball like that because that's just not the offense that they run. So I think for him, that's a really good spot going to Indianapolis. There's one you left off, and I know I took Devin Singletary in the draft, but Zach Moss out of Utah. All he did was quietly just really have a really good career in Utah, but he played at Utah and nobody really paid him no mind. He may have a chance, from what I'm hearing, to go in there and steal that from Devin Singletary to make Devin Singletary more of a, like a third down gadget kind of guy, and Zach Moss be the workhorse. I don't know if that's going to start day one, but you look at Zach Moss and his work ethic and the way he performed at Utah. He's got a really good shot at having filling that job in Buffalo. You know, by the time they hit the bye or midseason, depending on what's going on, and everybody's also pointing to Buffalo as a heavy favorite now with Tom Brady now exiting New England. So that would be my piece. As far as just another topic for me, I think we kind of hit on all the ones that I would have talked about. I just can't hop on it enough. The Big Ten, as we talk about, you know, football, making that decision so early on, and they had, you know, some of my Buckeyes especially, I felt like, you know, not to say they were going to win it, because I felt like they had a good chance last year as well, but I thought they had a good chance this year too, and for the recruiting and what it's going to do to your top-tier schools, especially if those other three conferences get off the ground and running and are able to play football, is just such a black eye that they didn't have to do. It's just, you know, it's just a self-inflicted wound to cancel it so early on when you didn't have to. So that to me is still disappointing. And we'll see how it works out. Maybe they look like there's, you know, a genius in a couple of weeks. I mean, it's either going to be a genius or GOAT, and not greatest of all time. I mean, GOAT, like Billy GOAT, like suck on the ass and make them run in the field, like idiot GOAT. So we'll see.
What's the bridge, though? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. I thought they were the favorites going into the season. I had them number one and Clemson number two. And so, I mean, it'd be really interesting. But I did have Ohio State as the team to beat this year in college football.
And you can see Ryan Day so mad. Like, he said it. He said, you know, you coach all your life. But he said not to say we were going to win it. He was like, this team, I felt I was so special. It was so tight. And it had so much talent to be able to not to be able to play for it right now when we didn't have to pull the plug is very disappointing. So, I think of course, he's biased. But you could tell him when he said it, he was really excited about that team and the prospects of doing what you just said, Rob. And to pull it so prematurely is just
Well, two things I want to talk about real quick. The first thing, briefly, is Phil Mickelson, you know, senior tour, first senior tour event, I believe, at the, what was it? What? At the Charles Schwab, 22 under, just crushed everyone.
He's on the senior tour?
Yes.
Well,
wow.
I mean, it's first day.
Yeah.
It's got to be first day.
Yeah, that's the first event, I believe.
Well, first day.
Wow.
Damn,
I'm old.
And another thing is, Rob, I want you on screen for this. What I said earlier about Rob and about the company that we work for and about opportunity, I tease Rob all the time, and this is no fun. This is going to be no joke. I'm dead serious. You start off as a ready reserve, 20-hour a week part-time person, and you get involved with the company. And it doesn't matter what you look like or what rate you are or whatever. If you show that I can attitude that Rob shows every day in his life, and you make things happen for yourself, and you're willing to move around and make these sacrifices. We work for a company that absolutely recognizes that and has recognized Rob as one of our leaders, our up-and-coming leaders. Because what we see now is as a manager that is, I know, fair, honest, hardworking, all of those great things you want from a boss, there's going to be a time down the road when we're talking to a regional and then we're talking to a VP. This is where this gentleman's heading. I know this firsthand. I've known him for a while, and he is a fantastic individual, and I tease him, but he is one of the people that the company that I work for, I have the absolute utmost respect for. So, Rob, thank you for what you do from the show and in your personal life with your family and what you do for our company that we love.
Loan me a dollar, Rob. You're going to be the regional manager. I need a damn dollar. No,
yeah.
I'm messing with you. No, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah, that's.
And you guys, I think I saw the check.
Uh-oh.
I think I saw the check.
She saw the check. Sorry, Rob.
No, I was going to say, oh, lady bought $2.
No, that's good, Rob. I can't top that.
You're on mute.
No, good job.
You're on mute.
Rob, you're on mute.
You're on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was just saying, I really appreciate that, Gary. That was a really nice tribute. And, you know, it goes a long way. And, Gary and I have been a part of a lot of, you know, projects together in our organization. And as you mentioned that, you know, I'm interviewing for another promotion on tomorrow. And so, you know, keep me in you guys' prayers on tomorrow.
Yeah,
another, I really appreciate that.
I'm going to show you another Delta member. There he is. Bruce Steele, Man of Steel.
Now Bruce is, he's been, Bruce and I, we played baseball together against each other in high school. And they had a better team than we did, but we gave them what we could, but they just had a stronger team. Even though we had a high school that was probably three or four times the size, they just had what it takes to, you know, get the job done. So Bruce and I have known each other for a long time. We both had hair. And we were a lot thinner, but hey, it is what it is, right? But Bruce is a fellow cyclist with, like myself, like Curtis. But this is the gentleman that Curtis went on that road trip with. And when you're talking about care providers and making sure that Curtis is safe on this trip and taken care of, this is the guy that really, really did the job. So, you know, we love Curtis on here, but hey, thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, you should have seen that job he did on my nose hair. Yeah, he had.
Wow.
I thought that was an afro in his sink after you finish cutting my nose hair. Man,
so,
that was amazing.
What's the over under the number of hookers on the trip? Three? You going to start the over under the number of hookers on the trip of three?
What's that now?
I said, what's the over under the number of hookers on the trip? I'm going to start with three.
In our travels, over. Hey, I told you guys we went to five states. I saw one Confederate flag in the back of a pickup truck. Guess what state that was in?
Idaho.
Georgia. I was in Idaho.
I was in
Nevada. I was in California, Washington, Oregon. Guess what a Confederate flag was in?
Oh, I don't know. I would go Idaho, too.
Where?
The Confederate flag we saw was in California.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. Hey, guys. Yeah.
They have like 11 bridges going over downtown, and they shut up all the roads, and everybody, you get to ride over all the bridges. And that was a picture of Curtis when he could do it, and another guy we worked with. But great.
I'll send that out to you guys.
Good stuff. I'm at you for saying the over, though. You are a nut, Gary.
You're just figuring that out, right? Today, tonight.
No. Just no,
figuring
I'm not.
It out.
No, I'm not. Go ahead, Joy.
No, we're just going to wrap this up. You guys have been great. Kudos to Rob. Good job, as always, man. So thank you for that stirring tribute for that to Gary, and also for Curtis as well too. So a lot of love, man. So we got to get some folks for us too, JQ, man. We got to see if we can pull some strings here, you know, as well. But it's all good. Okay, hope get
that dude got a job
for
tomorrow.
For promotion.
He definitely needs some rest.
Yeah. Wrap it up,
yeah.
Rob, and again, we'll
2:00 Central tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good luck, bro.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Good luck, man.
Thanks.
We're praying for
Thanks.
You.
Yeah.
He won't need any luck, gentlemen. He won't need any luck.
I don't know about luck, but I need prayers for sure.
Yeah, no, that's our brother. I just want to send you some positive encouragement before I get off of here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But I guess, is that it? Are we closing?
That's it. We're closing this down, man.
Yes, we are. That's it.
All right. Well, thank you all again for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with a 12th Man. Coming to you from Portland, coming to you from Atlanta, coming to you from Houston, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you all for tuning in yet again. We're going to be back on Wednesday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, we didn't forget about you. Aloha. We're going to be on at 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on Wednesday night next week. We look forward to having another great edition. All right. Good night, everyone.
Man, we're going to be on a prime time. Stop the clock with the news in Hawaii. I like it. Hey, been an awesome show for us. Sometimes we, you know, I think it's important for us to cover these important topics. I think everybody did a good job of speaking their truth and understanding what's going on in it and intermingling, you know, sports back into it towards the end. So, another fantastic show, y'all. Appreciate it. Glad to be a part of it. Talk to y'all next week.
Love is back, America.
Be safe.